97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. Brian Fisher is going to join us coming up here in just a moment from Athlon Sports and get his thoughts on the NFL draft. As now the players have all been selected, you got Zach Wilson on his way to New York, as we expected, and off we go.
He's got the best and worst picks of every team, and it's really fun to kind of read through this. If you don't read Brian Fisher, you need to start. Athlon Sports does a fantastic job, and he absolutely kills the NFL coverage. I love his stuff. But this best and worst story is awesome. I don't know how he does it, you know, to know all the players that you got to know and study and at least research. You got to know these guys in order to put their names on a best and worst pick.
Yeah.
But he did a best and worst pick for every single team through this 2021 draft.
So we'll chat with him, get his thoughts on the draft overall, and kind of look forward to what OTAs and mini camps and all that other stuff is going to look like heading into fall camp. In fact, he joins us now from Athlon Sports, Brian Fisher. You can follow him on Twitter, at Brian D. Fisher. Kind enough to join us. Brian, how are you?
Hey, Brian.
I'm still recovering from a jam-packed weekend full of NFL draft.
That was a fun draft. You've got a great story up on Athlon about the best and worst picks for every team, but let me ask you right out of the gate, were you surprised that Trey Lance ended up in San Francisco?
You know, a couple weeks ago, you know, I think the issue surrounding the whole Trey Lance and what the 49ers were going to do was really just one of perception, because, you know, I think when they initially made that trade, you know, for that number three pick, I kind of said, you know what, Trey Lance is a perfect fit for what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. And obviously, the organization itself came to that same conclusion. I think really the talk about Mac Jones and where he went in the draft and you know, what kind of prospect he was, I think that really kind of overshadowed you know, really just how good of a fit that Trey Lance can be in this offense. And I think if you trust anybody in the league to really shepherd a young quarterback along in his development, who has all the physical tools to really become a top tier starter under center, it is going to be Kyle Shanahan. So I think it's a pick that makes sense for the 49ers, and I think it's going to work out long term, because this is a great marriage between scheme and what Trey Lance likes to do, and I'm excited to watch it you know, as it kind of unfolds over the next couple of years.
Do you think that that's exactly what they traded to that pick for?
I think they had a good idea initially when they made that trade over which of the guys that they want. Now, do I think they went through the entire process? They wanted to make sure that, you know, all their scouts had, you know, the right input. And so there was a healthy discussion in there. Yeah. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Trey Lance was really kind of the guy that Kyle Shanahan had in mind from the start. And while I do think it was funny, because, you know, really they didn't tell anybody, you know, whether it was, you know, John Lynch, the GM, or Kyle Shanahan, you know, they did keep things kind of quiet, which I think is why the rumors about, you know, Mac Jones kind of went and got out of hand almost. But I think it was, you know, really a decision that they had in mind from the beginning. And then as they went through the process, it really just kind of confirmed, you know, what they wanted in terms of that quarterback pick at number three.
Patrick Surtain seems to be a great corner, and he'll probably be a multiple Pro Bowler before it's all said and done. But 5 years from now, are the Broncos going to be regretting not taking Justin Fields?
I think so. And let's face it, we got to preface it a little bit by the fact that we really don't know in terms of what they are looking and in terms of that quarterback position. I know the Denver rumors were out of control, you know, during that first round on Thursday after what happened out of Green Bay. But, you know, to me, I think the ability to get a young quarterback who has the upside that Justin Fields does, you know, he's accurate. Certainly he is built like a truck and can run you over and can move around the pocket. You know, I think he's a complete package, and there's been a reason why he's kind of been that 1A to Trevor Lawrence, pretty much, you know, or 1B to Trevor Lawrence, pretty much his entire career. And I think he is that kind of caliber of a starter in the NFL. I think certainly a terrific move by, you know, Chicago to land him. But I think, you know, when Denver kind of looks back and they're still having to sort out their quarterback position, if Drew Locke doesn't really work out this year, it's definitely going to cause some regret for GM George Patton, who had otherwise had a pretty good draft. But I think everybody's going to look at, you know, 2021 as a, you know, potential boom or bust year for the Broncos, given the state of that roster and given what they potentially passed up under center.
I went through your story, the best and worst picks for each team, and I absolutely loved it. I actually wanted to ask you, what goes into putting a piece like that together where it's a heavy opinion piece, you know you're going to get some blowback or you're going to get some real love. I've seen that you even had some seventh round picks that were on the best part of a lot of these teams. But what goes into putting a piece together like that and coming out with, you know, Kyle Trask, the Florida quarterback, is the worst pick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Well, a lot of it just comes down to value. You know, you only get so many shots in the draft to improve your team. And I think the wise drafting franchises really understand, you know, what the value is of these prospects. You know, you look at the Raiders. You know, that's a great case where if they had flipped their first and second round pick and gotten Trevon Moore, you know, in the first round and then come back and gotten Leatherwood in the second, yeah, you know, I think that the outlook on their whole entire draft class would be much improved because, you know, just a lot talking to some folks around the league, you know, they just did not consider, you know, that left tackle position or that right tackle position, you know, to be as strong, you know, kind of in those middle rounds. And I think Leatherwood was simply a reach. And so, you know, when you're talking about picking at 17, you have a ton of value in that pick to improve your team and improve it significantly, especially for a franchise like the Raiders who need some additional bodies out there that can come in right away, can start and make an impact in a really competitive division. And so when you're reaching for picks early, you know, I think that is where the value equation comes into it. And frankly, that's the same around the league. You know, whether it's a seventh rounder that you get and you have grades on that are early, that certainly is a huge factor in things. And the flip side, you know, second round picks right now are so valuable. So if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yeah, you want to have a succession plan for Tom Brady, but spending it on a quarterback at this point where your window to win another Lombardi trophy is right now. You know, I think that is a bit questionable. Yeah, you want the continuity at the quarterback position, and you never want to kind of bypass that next guy. But, you know, Kyle Trask is so limited physically in terms of, you know, what he can do moving inside the pocket. He had a phenomenal year last year, but, you know, to spend a second-round pick on him, when you're in kind of win-now mode, that's a little questionable to me. So that's where it really kind of comes down to is not necessarily the players themselves, but really where they are going in the draft and how much value you have in terms of the grades of the players and the grades of the picks as well.
Was Cincinnati able to pick up enough? And I haven't looked at their draft, but, you know, what they picked up in later rounds. But, you know, you've got a quarterback coming off a major knee injury because you couldn't protect him, and you gave him a wide receiver, which I'm sure he loves and he's good friends with, but passed on the best offensive lineman in the draft in Penei Sewell. Were they able to mitigate that loss later on in the rounds to try to help bolster that offensive line?
You know, a little bit. I think even, you know, Jackson Carman, a guy that, you know, you talk to some around the league, maybe more someone suited to kind of slide inside at guard, but, you know, is probably going to end up probably manning one of those tackle spots for the Bengals. And listen, that is going to be the great, you know, mystery around this entire draft class for teams like the Bengals is who you could have picked, you know, versus who you did. And I think it is, you know, the limited number of truly number one wide receivers that were available in this class, a lot of number two guys, high-end number two guys that you would love to have on your team. But in terms of that true superstar wide receiver, there was really only, you know, kind of two available in this draft, and in Ja'Marr Chase and Kyle Pitts as pass catchers. And I think, you know, Cincinnati kind of said, you know what, we can come back, we can get offensive line help. Obviously, free agency is another way to improve, you know, the guys up front, and they've done that to some extent. But, you know, this is really, you know, making your quarterback happy. And I think this is going to be a move that we'll see when we look back at things. But, you know, I think it's a big risk for Cincinnati, and I think you got to keep in mind that you know, this is also a coaching staff that is built to win right now, and so that they know there's pressure on them. You know, they're going to have to put up some points and show that this offense is certainly when Joe Burrow is healthy can be one of the better halves in the league. And so you know, it's a dynamic weapon in adding Ja'Marr Chase, but it all comes back to can Joe Burrow really kind of overcome some of those limitations up front. He's shown that he has, certainly in college and early in his rookie season, but at the end of the day, it can always catch up to you, and especially in a division like the AFC North, where you're going to get hit quite a bit, It's a big concern, I think, for Bengals fans out there is whether Joe Burrow is going to hold up in both the short term and the long term.
It was sure interesting listening to Terry Bradshaw just destroy Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, we're going to play that sound from Terry a little bit later in the show, but this Aaron Rodgers situation has turned into a real circus. Does he start for the Green Bay Packers week one, in your opinion?
Oh, that is the million-dollar question, right? I eventually think that everybody will get back onto the table and put the feelings aside for another year, just because, look, where is Aaron Rodgers' best chance to win a Super Bowl? It's probably in Green Bay again. That they added some additional pieces. I love that Amari Rodgers pick for them and what he can do in that offense. And, let's face it, that was a team, if they were able to get a couple stops, is probably in the Super Bowl and probably doing just what Tampa Bay was doing down there to Kansas City with the way they are aggressive on defense. So, to me, Aaron Rodgers' best chance to win another ring is probably right where he's at. Now, whether the front office, and let's face it, this is a unique situation. There's not just one owner that Aaron Rodgers can go to. It's all about Mark Murphy, the CEO, and Brian Gutekunst, the GM, and coming to an agreement with them in terms of what's going to happen, what's going to make Aaron happy. And I think there's a lot of time before OTAs and all that start. So maybe an agreement is reached, but it wouldn't be shocking at all if this thing lasts into the preseason. But eventually, everybody kind of comes to the realization that it's what's best for the franchise. It's what's best for Aaron Rodgers is to have another go around this year. And if you fall short again in the playoffs, yeah, maybe the two parties decide to part ways in 2022. But I think eventually it will all get worked out, despite all the negative talk coming out of Green Bay.
Wow.
Brian Fischer joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network with the NFL Draft in the rearview mirror. When you assess the New York Jets situation, and look, obviously it's been a dumpster fire for a while, but front office additions, new head coach, do you trust the structure that's in place that they could be successful in the near future?
Well, we've been burned so many times before, by this organization that it's almost like you've got to show us, you've got to prove it to not only the Jets fans out there, but really for the rest of the league. And I do like a lot of their pieces. I think Mike LaFleur, the offensive coordinator, I think that system it can work really well with the roster that the Jets are starting to assemble. A big fan of Joe Douglas. I think he's done a phenomenal job really trying to remake this roster. Almost on the fly. And it's taken a lot of draft capital, taken certainly some big free agency splashes, but I think he's added a ton of talent. This is not the team that was in that contention for the number one pick for so long. This is a much improved roster, and I think it really is all going to kind of come down to how patient are they going to be with Zach Wilson. I think there's really not any quarterbacks kind of on the roster that can kind of take that starting spot from him. I think from week one, I think he's going to be thrown to the fire, and it's all going to be about his development. He's going to have some rough moments certainly early on, but as he gets used to the speed of the NFL game, we've seen his explosive playmaking ability, how he can get down the field, and it's all about playing within that system. And at the end of the day, can the Jets really kind of get over those hurdles and prove that they can become a winning franchise again? I'm going to be a little bit reserved in saying that they can, but at the end of the day, they are taking the right steps. I think from ownership on down to really get things back on track there in the Big Apple.
Brian, I hesitate to put you on the spot with this question, but it's so interesting to me watching their hire of Coach Sala, the defensive coordinator from the 49ers. In your experience in watching NFL coaches come from the defensive coordinating call to then a head coach for the first time as a head coach, is how much success do you see in those situations, in those probably limited situations, in the first 3 years of that?
Yeah, I think it's obviously kind of all over the map. What I do like about the situation in New York with Robert Saleh is he brought some guys from the 49ers that he knows and he trusts. And so I think having that good working relationship, really with, especially with Mike LaFleur, the OC, to really trust him to kind of install that offense, the Shanahan system. Yeah, there's going to be some growing pains. I mean, I don't think anybody expects Mike LaFleur to call plays like Kyle Shanahan does, but to kind of trust that system to lean into what those guys can do well. I think it's big for a head coach because it is so different from being a coordinator, where you're only meeting the media maybe once every couple of weeks, or once a week. You're the head coach. You're setting the tone for that organization. So it is a big change. But I think at the end of the day, for Robert Saleh, for the Jets overall, they've got a guy that is going to change the culture there, and that is really kind of the biggest thing that I think they were looking for as they were going through that process, is somebody that can set the tone. Every game certainly, but really from a daily perspective. And I think he's a guy that when you talk about folks around the league, they buy into him kind of helping change that culture. And that's a big one given all the losing that has occurred there in New York these past couple of years.
So again, we never hold you to this because I think draft grades can get a little out of sorts. But with that said, looking overall, who do you felt like with what your knowledge is now on these players, who do you think had the best draft?
I don't know if I can narrow it down to just one. I do love what Cleveland did. It is weird to kind of heap some more draft praise on what the Browns have been doing, but they have really built one of the better rosters these last couple of years through the draft. Really adding those impact players, and they get a corner in Greg Newsome, who I think can come and start right away. He really fills a positional need, especially when you're talking about the kind of deep threats that they have struggled with at times. I think he's a guy that can address those issues. They get a first round, a first round linebacker that can help as well with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. So terrific value in the second round. You got to remember they splashed some cash in free agency, so they have really kind of overhauled that defense on the fly and upgraded the areas that they need to. So I would throw Cleveland out there. The big question in my mind is Miami is if they hit on those picks, and I love Jalen Waddle as a prospect. If he can really reconnect with Tua Tagovailoa, that's another team that was close last year, but maybe this is kind of that bridging class that can help them get not only into the playoffs but really contend for the division title. Love Javon Holland, the safety they got in the second round. Certainly, Pac-12 fans are well aware of what he can do on the field. But Jalen Phillips, I mean, he's a guy that could end up being the best edge rusher in this class. And to get him where they did in the first round, I think is another terrific value. I love what Miami did. So those are two that kind of stand out. But I think overall, there was a lot of just smart decisions being made by a lot of these franchises. Maybe that's because they really relied on the tape heavier than past years and did not get caught up in some of those combine numbers that we're used to. But it feels like, around the league, there's not a whole lot to kind of quibble with coming out of that draft.
Brian Fisher, kind enough to join us. We appreciate it. You can read his stuff on Athlon Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Brian D. Fisher. Brian, you're the best, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
Interesting draft weekend in the rearview mirror. It was a fun one. I enjoyed it. But the whole draft grades and everything that comes out, it's always like, hey, let's wait a couple of years. Same as recruiting day.
That's how putting together a piece like that where you've got all 32 teams and you put together a best and a worst. Except for the Las Vegas Raiders, he's got the worst and then more terrible than the worst.
Yeah.
he's got. I wanted to ask him, how did you find the best? When you went through their draft. Okay, you ready?
It's not a good day for us. This day has not been good.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
Wow. I feel like we're coming up on our 7-year
anniversary. Let's start right out. Hey, what happened?
You know what happened, Lloyd. I feel like we're coming up on the 7-year anniversary of this show. And we're starting to see cracks in the foundation.
Starting to deteriorate a little bit.
Walking around the house.
Your shenanigans are wearing thin. Very thin.
You talking to me?
No.
Okay, good.
The guy that just pressed the button on that thing.
Yeah.
Lloyd, no amount of anger is going to be worth you pressing the button on that thing. And we do need to have a team meeting about this. I'm really sick of that.
I know you are.
Being played.
I'm getting sick of it, too.
It's driving me nuts.
All right. We're live here at Tri-Day Trading. Ryan is with us again. And Ryan, one of our favorite people on the planet. Good dude. And we need to get you educated because when you're making decisions out there, Hans and I certainly can't tell you what to do. Even Tri-Day Trading's not going to tell you what to do. You've got to use that information on your own and make the best decision with the rules and the information and the guidelines that are given to you so you are armed to make your own decision.
Yeah, you know, we want to make sure that that people understand there's so many of us out there that are just kind of running blind right now, just firing left and right and you know, trying to do our best and make some money. The exciting part is right now, it's never been better to get into the day trading world, to get into the crypto, just because there's so many things that are going up.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think there's a lot of people too that, you know, think, hey, I can tackle this on my own and maybe get in and get in a little trouble, aren't sure, you know, where to get in or where to get out. And so what we're trying to do is just teach people, right, a little bit more about the markets and really educate them on our software. Because when you have some tools that the other guys don't, when you have some resources that the other guys don't, you're going to make better decisions. And that's really what it comes down to, is we want to put you in a position where you understand what you're doing, where you're making educated decisions, and really where the results are speaking for themselves.
You know, Ryan, we were talking with Phil a little bit earlier about preparing yourself and being ready for anything that might happen and understanding that the market is always going to be there. It is always going to be a tradable commodity. If it's not, then, you know, we're just packing it up and we're figuring out a different way of life. But it is always there to trade, and you can always do it from your home with the latest technology. And we just want people to prepare themselves if we ever have a situation like this again.
Yeah, I think we all got a big wake-up call this last year where things happened that we never thought were possible. And I don't think that's going to change. I mean, the future, there's so many unknowns. There's just a little way that you could take some control back. You can do it around your own schedule. You could do it from anywhere that you can get an internet connection. And there is just so much opportunity right now. And, you know, while things are going up, we also, you know, do a lot of foreign currencies. And with those, there's the possibility of even making money when they're going down. So, I mean, you could just position yourself to take advantage of whatever is next.
And that is what is important, because as you see the financial landscape, you want to be able to make money in a volatile market. And well, I tell you what, you're hard-pressed to find anything more volatile than what we're looking at right now.
Yeah, it's a lot of up and down, but you know what? If you're smart, and really, I mean, this is just some basic math, right? If you're winning 8 out of 10 trades or 6 out of 10 trades and you're not losing it all on that one bad trade or making a really bad decision, then this could be something positive for you.
Yeah.
You know, just more wins than losses and smart with what we're doing.
Go to TriDayTrading.com. Take advantage of that free webinar. That's TriDayTrading.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
In college at San Diego State, a guy texts in, my neighbors the Hughes thought about naming their son after Marshall Faulk. Thought about it? Why didn't they do it?
You're not catching on, Dave. What's their last name? You're just
naive. You're right.
Here.
Yeah. Well, I was going for Marshall U.
No.
Oh, I got it now. Sorry. My bad.
You're so freaking naive, Dave.
This is why we love you.
You're not exactly a street smart guy.
Marshall U's not that bad.
No. I think it's more the last name.
So you
name.
Really like the Thunder and Herd, do you?
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network, all brought to you by Zero Res. Get those carpets clean. Spring is here. You had all winter where you've been dragging in the muck and the snow and the rain and got dogs doing who knows what in your on your carpets.
Get them cleaned.
Your dogs are pretty well behaved in that regard, right?
They are now, yeah. They are now. But they drag in dirt.
Yeah.
You know, they come in with their dirty paws and...
You got... Gus, back in the day, dragging his butt all over the place.
Gus will shed 6-7 gallons of hair in about 2 months. That guy just drops hair like crazy.
Buster does?
Yeah. Buster, yeah. French Bulldogs shed pretty bad.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, two times a year they drop a coat.
That's not great.
It's not great.
So what do you do? Have like what do you do on your couches and stuff like that? Like
vacuum them. Just vacuum the couches.
Like you, I mean, you wear dark pants, and you have to.
You can't do that. You got to make sure the couch is vacuumed. But you can see if, and he's not supposed to get on the couch, but if he does get up there when you're not looking, you got to look, make sure. If you're going to sit down with black pants, you got to double check. Otherwise, you will get up and it will stick to you, and you will look ridiculous.
That's probably one of the biggest reasons I don't get a dog.
Just get one that's get one like Gracie. She doesn't shed.
Because like every
I feel
Friday,
like there's a lot of other reasons you don't get dogs.
There's a
I feel
bunch.
Like that's the least of them.
No, it's pretty high up on the list. Because you know sometimes on those old football Fridays, Ron McBride would show up and he would have at least a pound and a half of dog hair on his pants.
Yeah, he's got a couple of really big dogs. You know, he's got those labs that really drop hair. But you could find yourself something that the family would love. That's dander-free, that's hyperallergenic, and you can find a good dog.
Problem solved.
I'm so excited for the day of adoption. Finally got this thing scheduled. I know that the Humane Society is so excited, and I'm excited because there are dogs that do need a home out there, and I've got this weird goal in my life. Like I at some point I want to run some type of like dog help adoption agency or something.
Really?
I would love to, yeah, because dogs just need a home.
You just want to be surrounded by dogs all day.
I think it would be fun.
Like you would have that dog voice you use.
Yeah.
Like that would be,
who's a big well, boy? Well, every dog has a different voice. You know, you got the Gracie's is more, because she's a little girl and she's just a tiny little girl.
But if you have a...
but like a big dog, you're a big boy. You eat lots of food.
You got to get deeper.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I don't know. It sounds the same whenever we're on remote and somebody shows up with a dog. It seems like it's kind of the same voice.
Man, I love dogs. Have you ever watched Cesar Millan?
Oh, the dog whisperer?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to think that's staged because those dogs don't automatically just change with 5 minutes with him.
You've seen him get bit a couple times, though.
Oh, I haven't watched that much.
Oh, man. Lloyd?
Yeah,
Lloyd, do you watch?
Get it. Yeah, I watch a little bit.
Oh, man, he's taking some hard bites. And when he gets bit, he'll let it, like, bite and clamp on his arm, and he'll look it right in the eye, and then he'll hit it with his two fingers on the side and go, and look at it. And then he'll force it back to the ground while it's still latched on him and pop him again in the side and just sit there and look at it until it releases and cowers. And then
that dog's like, oh, my gosh, he just took that.
Yeah. It's really funny. And it does change a dog's temperament really quick. It's like, all right, he's got me. He's bested me. My bite's not working on this one, so I'm gonna hang out and chill.
And then he just yells at the owners for an hour, like, you did this.
Yeah, he does.
You screwed this dog up.
Yeah,
it's not his fault. Because
it usually
like
is the owners.
Yeah, a lot of times the owners do. So I've got two spoiled little brat dogs that feel like every time they go out and potty, they'll come running back the door and look at me like, did you see what I did? Give me my treat now. And you're like, no, you're not getting a treat for this time. You don't get a treat every time you go potty. Gracie thinks she's entitled to a treat every time she potties. So what she does now, Scotty, is she's like, oh, I need to go out. So she'll tap the door like we taught her.
Yeah.
So we put her out, and she'll go out there and look at me and, like, squat, and nothing comes out. And then she'll come over like, treat. It's like, no, you're not getting a treat. You faked me out. I know what you're doing.
That would hit the doorstop thing and just bang it, ding, 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 for a treat. Ding 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 ding.
Because he wants a treat.
They want a treat.
Oh man, I love dogs.
But you end up giving her a treat.
Yeah, I do. Oh, always. Every time. That little stinker. She's a stink pot. I call her my little stink pot. Little pumpkin stink pot.
You're like freaking 260 pounds of chiseled granite and you melt like butter every time a dog walks by.
They're just so funny.
Okay,
and
we need to move on.
I'm excited. So for the good, Scotty, I mentioned this when we were talking with Brian Fisher. This is Terry Bradshaw talking about Aaron Rodgers.
We know that Rodgers is not happy with the organization. There's a chasm between the two. Does Rodgers have a right to be this upset with the Packers?
With him being that upset shows me just how weak he is. Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, is a three-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one. Now, I don't know what was said behind the scenes. I don't know what if he said, look, I'll play this year, and then I want out of here, and they said, fine. Then he's the MVP in the league. I don't know. None of us know, unless he told some insiders, and they're saying if I don't hear it. And for him to be upset, my God, I don't understand that. Pittsburgh drafted Mark Malone, number one, Cliff Stout in the third or fourth round. I had them coming at me from all angles. I embraced it because when we went to practice, I wasn't worried about those guys. You know, it didn't scare me a bit. So I don't understand why he's so upset at Green Bay. And then if they fire the general manager, he'll come back. Are you kidding me? Really? Aaron, that's where this is. Here's what I'd do. I wouldn't budge. Let him gripe. Let him cry. Retire. You're 38. Go ahead and retire. See you later. I mean, I'm really strong about stuff like that. And it just makes him look weak. In my way of looking, it makes him look weak. You know, how dare you draft somebody? Or, you know, I played better. What did he say? I played better than they thought I would. Or I don't know. Oh, me being the MVP really screwed them, you know, really messed them up. Well, you're going to make, I don't know how much money. That obviously he doesn't need the money. So probably he's just retire and go do Jeopardy.
His final comment, probably retire. I don't know. Go do Jeopardy. Well, we all want him to go do Jeopardy. I'm not a Green Bay fan. I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan. I don't care if he's in the league or if he's not in the league. I would like to see him on Jeopardy because I do think that he brings he's actually more valuable to me on Jeopardy than he is in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because I'm not – Green Bay always kind of flashes and they do their thing for a minute and then they
it
lose.
Seems like they're always good. It just – you know, and they've been to a couple Super Bowls and he's won one, I believe. It just doesn't seem like they're always in contention, but something always trips them up there at the end.
Is Aaron Rodgers a draw for you?
I like to watch Aaron Rodgers play the game of football.
Oh, you
yes,
do?
I do. I do. I enjoy.
I don't. He's not intriguing to me at all.
I think he makes, you know, the Hail Mary passes. I think he's an entertaining quarterback to watch. I will watch the Packers when they play. Like I enjoy watching them play. And yes, I am softening up to him because I'd like to see him in a Broncos uniform.
Oh, this is what this is about.
If Justin Fields is on the board at 9, Lloyd, and Denver goes a different direction and goes defense, Lloyd.
Come on over to the Raiders, my man.
Let's go to break.
This is what it's about. You're softening up Aaron Rodgers because if he does end up Denver, you don't want it to be like that buddy that tears apart this guy's ex-girlfriend or you know, he's separated from his wife. Oh, she's horrible anyways. And then they get back together. It's like, oh, this is awkward.
I knew you guys would always make it back together. No, I want that marriage to be broken up, and I want her to be in my house. Like, okay. Let's go.
Well, man.
It's not a great way to say that.
No, it's not.
That didn't sound right.
But just take it for what he meant it to be. And let's not do anything else with that comment.
Thanks, Lloyd. Maybe keep that one. Let's not play that one again.
But I think I'm with Brian Fisher. I think Aaron Rodgers.
I do too. I think they find a way to make this work.
Week one is with Green Bay.
Look, 16, 17 years, but maybe that works against it a little bit. Maybe the history, and he sees, look, there's a couple things out there. You saw the last two major quarterbacks in their late 30s, or in Tom Brady's case, early 40s, leave a team they'd been with for 15, 16 years and go and win a Super Bowl. Peyton Manning went to Denver, won a Super Bowl. Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay and won a Super Bowl. That's got to be going through his mind a little bit where he's thinking, you know what? The grass sometimes is a little greener on the other side. And I got these jabronis in the front office. They're trying to get rid of me. They're trying to move on. So why not? Let's go. Move me. Get a couple first. Let me go flirt with somebody else for once.
You know where he could go and win a Super Bowl right now?
Denver.
No. Well, maybe, but Tennessee.
Oh, that'd be a nice spot.
He's not going to Tennessee.
he probably won't go to Tennessee. But Tennessee is a Aaron Rodgers away from a Super Bowl.
All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. There you go. Good, the bad, the ugly. Minky Couture, we had a blast there yesterday. And remember, Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday. Get the best blanket ever that's also the best gift ever for Mother's Day. Sandy and her staff are ready to do it again for our listeners, helping you get Mother's Day right. Get 50% off now when you mention Zone 50 at a store near you or online at MinkyCouture.com. That's Zone 50, Minky Couture for Mother's Day. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Have you showed Lisa this story?
No.
Will you put the headset on her and show her that story?
Okay, now you be respectful while I'm gone, okay?
Okay.
Hey, fellas.
Gordon is back. Hi, Gordon.
Yeah, she's not here. I think she's on a walk or something.
Now, wait a minute. Did you eat something?
I grabbed a snack. On.
You didn't even go look for it.
I saw a couple of M&Ms, so I chucked them in my mouth, and then I went to the other side of the house to look for it.
You did not. You just went to the kitchen to grab a snack.
It's okay, isn't it?
Sure, they're waiting on air for me, but heck, I'm hungry.
Might as well, yeah, eat some.
No,
I got a snack.
Catch The Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You've got the whole world.
Another edition of Whole World News right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network as we're live here at Tri-Day Trading. Love for you to come by, or better yet, just go to tridaytrading.com and let's get you squared away.
Tridaytrading.com, just 10 bucks, 30-day demo. You could see everything that they've got to offer.
For just 10 bucks.
Whole World News brought to you, of course, by EliteWorks and Scotty, still giving out the free website rebuilds. And it's as easy as just calling. 844-523-2777. Free rebuild.
That's it.
Yeah. Redesign your website. Get a new look. Get a new function. Get a new cost if you're paying a monthly figure. And obviously, they're extremely competitive in that market as well. So 844-523-2777. This is a dream come true for me. If this happened to me in my backyard, I don't know, man. This would be, and you know my love for paleontology, this would be the end-all be-all. Here's a news story out of Las Vegas.
New tonight, backyard bones. A Las Vegas pool builder finds a 14,000-year-old surprise. A set of intact fossils apparently dating back to the most recent Earth Ice Age.
Yeah, so let's get right now to 13 Investigates reporter Joe Bartels live near Rainbow in Lake Mead to explain all this. Joe, quite a find.
Yeah, Todd, Tricia, a really surprising find. It all started with some digging in the backyard of a home near Grand Teton and Buffalo. And historians and experts say a look at our past is as simple as looking under the ground in our backyards.
This will soon be a beautiful 6-foot-deep pool, but construction has hit a bit of a snag.
They had found the bones Friday and forgot to mention that to us.
Matt Perkins says pool builders unearthed these backyard bones buried about 4 to 5 feet below the ground surface.
Monday morning, we woke up to the pool guy had said he was going to come check out the pool. We assumed that's normal. Wake up, he's out front with the police.
Perkins says Las Vegas police and CSI revealed the bones were too big to be human and were none of law enforcement's concern. So he got an expert to confirm the find dates back to Earth's last ice age, or about 14,000 years ago.
We had joked Friday while they had started digging that, oh great, maybe they can find a dinosaur for us and it will pay for our pool. Obviously, when they told us they had found some fossils, that was more of a shock to us that we weren't expecting that.
What we found was when they were excavating the backyard pool is that they were cutting through ice age layers of sediment. And sure enough, they actually hit a skeleton of an animal.
Joshua Bondi is the director of research at the Nevada Science Center. He inspected the bones and believes the fossils belong to a large mammal, perhaps an Ice Age horse, a common creature that roamed the Mojave Desert and used nearby natural springs as a watering hole.
This animal, it's surrounded by what appears to be some partially compacted vegetation. So it probably died on the edge of a spring and then just either fell into that spring to be preserved or some other mechanism buried it quickly.
So, Scotty.
A horse?
Well, they think it's a horse. I know the horse isn't the coolest thing.
Boring.
Well, yeah, but it's a prehistoric horse. It might have fangs or it might be like a saber-tooth horse.
Now, that would be cool.
We don't know exactly what type of horse it is. It's not what I would want to find. Like, I'd want to find, like, a T-Rex or, you know. You want to find
a velociraptor, but he's got, like, a Dr. or Mr. Ed in the backyard.
No, it's not as simple as Mr. Ed. It's not just your average, everyday horse.
Wilbur, it's cold.
Hey, how about the guy digging the pool, too, and he hits the bones. He's like, that's a dead body. He called the cops.
I would, too, because I don't want to be like, hey, I go in there like, hey, you know you have a dead body, and then you're staring a, you know, a revolver in your face. Like, what did you find again?
He should have asked the people first.
No, he shouldn't have. No, he did 100% the right thing.
I don't know. I think the right thing is to be like, hey, you got some bones in your backyard.
Hey, is this Jimmy Hoffa? Because I'm going to need a few Cinos.
It is in the Vegas.
Exactly. It's Vegas.
In the Vegas desert where this guy was cutting his pool. 14,000-year-old bones of a prehistoric horse. Some of you may be wondering how much that would go for.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because remember, I didn't finish in paleontology.
Yeah, okay.
I only had a desire to go into it. But I will get a figure. I'll see if I can come up with a number.
Meanwhile, Kairos Tonga over there in Chicago is like, wait, what? How well preserved is that?
Sounds like jerky.
I'm down. Alema Harrington joins us right now here on 97.5.
Oh, yeah.
Can't believe that's what stalled out your basketball shooting career. That's crazy.
Yeah, but if you end up finding my remains at some point, you can identify me by the broken right arm. You'll know it's me. You'll know it's me. Don't worry. It's not prehistoric. It's just a dilemma.
Oh, man. A dilemma.
That grinder's still in his hand.
If only I would have had my Mr. Mac Blazer on, this would have never happened.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad we can laugh about it now. It wasn't funny then.
I'm glad we can laugh about it now, too. But hey, Alema, you know what's incredible? You get into this tri-day trading world, and you start learning about the world of tri-day trading, the money that you can make.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting how you can do all this from home and continue to make money.
It's a beautiful thing because so many of us have learned, we got listeners out there. It's like, I'm working from home anyway. And so, it almost becomes just a natural transition as we come out of the pandemic. Hey, is there a career that I could have just working from my house and maybe even just a couple of hours a day? And the answer is yes. And it's tri-day trading to get involved in the program and learn how you can do it. So for, anybody that's out there listening right now, the important thing is just to go ahead and get to tridaytrading.com and get the initial information there. And then you can sign up. Join us on Wednesdays in Lehigh. We do a live seminar now. If you want a social distance, you can do that as well. If you want to do it from home, you can, jump on the webinars. But the information is all out there. And if you're like me, you're thinking, man, I don't know if I have the smarts to do this. You were, going into paleontology. I was going into communications. So it's like, well, can I really do this? The answer is yes, because the coaches, the trainers, they will give you all the information that you need to set you up to be successful. And it all starts with just going to the website, tridaytrading.com. So if you're interested, get online, go to tridaytrading.com.
It's tridaytrading.com. Check out the webinar. Let's go. That's tridaytrading.com right here on the Zone Sports Network.